So there's the situation. And it's the Word of God that brings us into focus. In our adult Sunday school class today, we were looking at some strong language in 1 John, where John says that if you say that you're a believer and you don't keep my commandments, John says you're a liar. That's strong language. That's a strong message, especially in a day and age today in which the whole idea is always be positive in your preaching. Always lift people up. Don't be negative. Well, boy, when John says you're a liar, that's a pretty negative statement. You're a liar, he says. How would you like it if somebody walked up to you and looked at you and said, you're a liar? That's what John was saying. But there's Martha. She's cumbered about. Now, look at verse number 40. It says this, she was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You notice she uses, or the scriptures use the word me several times. Me, me, me. Now let me just stop here and take a step back. You know, we often, and rightly so, I suppose, we can get on folks who are not trusting the Lord by faith, but we have friends and we have family members that are involved in organized religion that teaches a works-based salvation. Right? They're trying to earn their way to heaven. And I think you and I know that you cannot earn your way to heaven, that heaven is a free gift, heaven is salvation is by grace and not of works. But you and I also know, as believers, that we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And there's a real danger sometimes with those who have accepted Christ, who then are not really walking by faith, they're walking by works. In other words, their whole Christian experience is based upon everything that they try to do to serve. They don't take the time, as did Mary, to sit down at Jesus' feet and let Jesus speak to their hearts. They'd be quick to volunteer to do this, they'd be quick to volunteer to do this, they'd be quick to volunteer to do this, and really they're basing their whole Christian experience on their works, not on their faith in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? They're cumbered about. They don't soak in the Word of God. Some years ago, I read in Oswald Chambers' commentary on this particular text. He was talking to Bible college students, and he said to them, listen, you men need to learn to soak. And Oswald Chambers has got a funny way of putting things, but that's the term. You need to learn to soak. He says, because when you leave this Bible college, and whether you go to the mission field, or you're in the ministry somewhere, it's not going to be so much in your service to men that's going to keep you focused. It's going to be in your faithfulness to Christ. And what he said you need to soak is this. It's been a dry summer here in New England, hasn't it? And so this past week we have finally gotten a little bit of regular rain. But it's been so dry that the rain that we had previous to this week, it would come and it would hit the hard ground, wouldn't it? And it would basically just run off. And what we needed is some slow, steady rain for the ground to become less hardened so the ground could soak up the water and begin to nourish everything. Well, that's the same idea that he had with regards to the Word of God. You see, over time, you and I, if we're not careful as believers, our hearts become hard. Fallow ground. A Bible conference is a time for the soft, still, steady rain to come and to soften our hearts. It's the time for the Word of God to sink in. Well, you know, wait a minute, I come, you know, preacher, I come Sunday mornings, and I come Sunday nights, and I come Wednesday nights. Well, that's great, but are you allowing it all to soak in? To soak up the Word of God. One of the reasons the ground is so hard this year is we didn't get any snow this past winter. The ground just became hard. And we need a lot more rain. We had downpours last night. I mean, torrential downpours. But the ground is still needing more and more. And sometimes you and I as believers, we're so cumbered about. We do this and we do that. And we're running here and we're running there. But that's all we are, is cumbered about. Sometimes we come to services and we're so tired, we're worn out from cumbering about that we really don't hear a lot. And I'm thankful to come whether you come tired or not, but the reality is we get so worn out from running and running and doing that we don't soak up the Word of God. And we lose our focus. We take our eyes off of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Set your affections on things above. That's what happens. We're so cumbered about with the things of the earth that we're not allowing for the Word of God to soak in and speak to our hearts. Or we're like the former, our whole Christian experience. And I've seen it through the years. It's all about doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that. But I tell you what then happens usually with that type of a believer. When the crisis comes, the difficulties come, the setbacks come, the dry times come, everything is based upon going to and fro. And they just haven't spent time allowing the Word of God to soak in. Follow what I'm saying? And so there's Martha. Man, she looks busy as a bee. Back and forth and doing it. And then she looks at Jesus and said, "Don't you care?" Because you know what? Martha's whole Christian experience really wasn't about Jesus. Wait a minute, she's serving Jesus. It's all about her service. It's not all about her Savior. And she's lost her focus. And there's Mary. And the Lord knows. He's very compassionate in verse 41. Look what he says. He answered. And the Lord always has an answer. Amen? He really does. The Lord always, always, always has an answer for you and me. Sometimes we don't hear it. Sometimes we just tune it right out. Like at camp, like me and one of the other counselors, we do the cabin cleanup. We walk around in the morning after when the kids have gone to chapel, and we check all the boys' cabins and all the girls' cabins, and there's a winner and a loser every day. The losing cabin has to clean the men's room if it's the fellas and the ladies' room if it's the ladies. And so I think it was on Thursday, you know, or whatever day it is, I make the announcement. So they're all in the cafeteria, if it's the juniors or when the senior high, junior high are getting online. I get on the microphone, and I say, "Okay, I'm going to announce winners and losers," and all the attention comes to me. Everybody's listening. And then you make the announcement. And then before, I think it was on Thursday, I said to Brother Taylor, I said, "Tim, listen, afterwards, can I just mention to everyone that there's a lot of trash around the camp that needs to be picked up?" When I say a lot, I don't mean the camp is filled with trash. I mean, there's a little bit of paper here and a can left here. And kids do that kind of thing. And it's our responsibility to keep the camp looking nice. "Do you mind if I just make a little, like a public service announcement?" "Oh yeah, that'd be good," he says. Because he does it too. So I make my announcement. All right, boys and girls, it's time to announce the winners and the losers. So I announce the winners. I announce the losers. The groans for the losers. The cheer for the winners. And then I make my public service announcement, and absolutely nobody's listening to me. Because when it was about winners and losers, it was about somebody. It was about them. If it's about camp cleanup, it's like some kids, there was some trash. I said, hey, pick that up, would you? Oh, I didn't put it there. I didn't leave it there. I said, I didn't say you put it there. I didn't put it there either, but I'll pick it up. Nobody listened. Listen, Jesus desires to bring focus into our lives. And sometimes we forget that. We need to be soaked. We need the Word of God. We need to spend time with God. We need to get our affections refocused, not on the things of this world, but the things of heaven. That's why we have a Bible conference. That's why we ask you to pray about it. That's why we ask you to come to it. We just don't have a Bible conference to say, well, let's just have a Bible conference. That's what churches do. We have a Bible conference because as your pastor, I understand that we need to... Listen, I need it. I need to sit and be soaked by the Word of God. We live in a very dry and parched world. Well, I already made arrangements for something else. Okay, change them. Change them. Oh, I couldn't do that. Why not? We're just too cumbered about. And it's interesting, but Mary was serving. I mean, it's not as if, Martha was serving. It's not as if she was in some gross sin. She was serving. And it's great to have people that serve. And I'm thankful for all the folks in our church that serve the Lord in different capacities. But there's a time to serve and there's a time to soak. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Boy, do we live in a world where people are careful. That word careful, it really means to be. They're anxious and they're troubled about so many things. But I want you to understand, Jesus desires to bring peace into our lives. He really does. We're troubled, we're anxious, we're running to and fro. And yet it's a time, an oasis in life, just to come and let the Prince of Peace speak to our hearts. Do you know, when I looked this up this past week, and I started to see it by accident. I probably knew it, but forgot. In every single one of Paul's epistles, with the exception of the pastoral epistles, in every single one, he starts out the epistles in the first several verses. You'll find this, grace to you and peace. Every one of his epistles. And in the three that don't say grace and peace, he says mercy and peace. Just find that in a lot of believers' lives, there's just not a lot of peace. We're anxious. We're troubled. And God, and the Lord says to Martha, that's what you are. You're troubled and anxious about so many things. But verse 42 is the crux of it. But one thing is needful, and Martha has chosen the one thing. We're so involved in so many things, Mary hath chosen the one thing. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. She chose the good part. She's sitting at my feet. She's listening to what I have to say. She's hearing my word. See, the most needful thing wasn't the serving of Martha. And the most needful thing in your life is not all the things that we're cumbered about with. The most needful thing in your life is to sit under the preaching of God's Word and let the Word of God minister to your hearts. That's the most needful thing. I guess the question is, though, do we really see it that way? Do we understand it that way? The main thing is the one thing. The main thing is the glue, the mortar that holds it all together. The main thing is the one thing that ought to have preeminence in our lives. That's the thing that's needful. So now I've given you the information. Now it's your responsibility to do something with it. I have fulfilled my role. But now it's up to you to fulfill your role. It's between you and the Lord. The one thing is the main thing. The one thing is the needful thing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. First, although I didn't spend a lot of time on it this morning, perhaps you're here today and you're not sure that you're a believer, you're not sure that you're a Christian. Well, understand this, that Jesus has entered into your life this morning. And He stands before you and He says to you that despite the fact that you're a sinner, condemned unclean, I love you. I died for you. I was buried for you, and I rose for you. And today, if you're unsure whether you know Christ or not, if there's a still small voice in your heart that's drawing you to the Lord, in a minute we're going to have an invitation, and I invite you to come forward and speak to one of our men, if you're one of our men, one of our ladies, and if it's your desire to receive Christ this morning, they'll answer any questions that you might have. They'll pray with you. Share any scriptures with you that you might need. And the Lord promises to receive you. So with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, maybe there's one here today who's never received Christ. Listen, I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to say or do any more than I've just said. I'm not going to come to you or point you out or embarrass you. But if you're here and you say, you know, preacher, I need to receive Christ. I've never done that. Would you just slip up your hand, anyone at all, and put it down? I've never done that. God's speaking to my heart this morning.